This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. So we have come, alhamdulillah, to Surah An-Naba, which is again actually the first surah in Juz Amma. And hopefully, inshallah, today we will be done with Juz Amma all together. And I was debating as to how to continue. There were a few suggestions, but I really see more value in us continuing in this order. So after Surah An-Naba, we can go to Al-Mursalat. And so on and so forth until we reach Surah Tabaraka. The reason is, again, most people are familiar with Juz Amma, and a lot of people have memorized it. And then I think the same applies maybe to a lesser degree to Juz Tabaraka. So, and there's a lot of beautiful surahs there. Surah Al-Mulk, Surah Al-Qalam, then the description of the hereafter in Al-Haqqa and Al-Ma'arij and so on and so forth. So they're actually very relatable surahs. A lot of people, again, are familiar with them. So I thought it would be good. And we continue the same momentum, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And we can see that, again, every week we just do a little bit. And subhanAllah, you can literally read quite a bit from the tafsir of the Qur'an. This shows it really doesn't require a lot of time. And it doesn't require a tedious commitment. You can just appoint 2 hours a week to reading. And imagine, we're not only reading, we're actually explaining as well. We're commenting on the tafsir. So if you just give 2 hours or book 2 hours for the tafsir, pretty much in a relatively short time, you'll be able to read the tafsir of the Quran. And it's wallahi pity. You know, if someone doesn't know the tafsir, at least they have not come across the tafsir of most of the verses of the Quran as a Muslim. Let's start with the tafsir. قال الإمام عبد الرحمن السعدي رحمه الله تعالى تفسير سورة عمة وهي مكية. سورة النبأ is called سورة عمة because that's the first word that appears at the beginning, but it's also called سورة النبأ. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عما يتساءلون عن النبأ العظيم الذي هم فيه مختلفون كلا سيعلمون ثم كلا سيعلمون أي عن أي شيء يتساءل المكذبون بآيات الله ثم بين ما يتساءلون عنه فقال عن النبأ العظيم الذي هم فيه مختلفون أي عن الخبر العظيم الذي طال فيه نزاعهم وانتشر فيه خلافهم على وجه التكذيب والاستبعاد وهو النبأ العظيم الذي لا يقبل الشك ولا يدخله الريب ولكن المكذبون بلقاء ربهم لا يؤمنون ولو جاءتهم كل آية حتى يروا العذاب الأليم ولهذا قال كلا سيعلمون ثم كلا سيعلمون أي سيعلمون إذا نزل بهم العذاب ما كانوا به يكذبون حين يدعون إلى نار جهنم دعا ويقال لهم هذه النار التي كنتم بها تكذبون ثم بين تعالى النعم والأدلة الدالة على صدق ما أخبرت به الرسل فقال
سورة النبأ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. That is, what are those who disbelieve in the signs of Allah asking one another about? Then Allah explains what they are asking one another about, as He says, about the great tidings concerning which they differ, that is, about the great news concerning which they deferred for a long time, and their attitude of rejecting it and believing it to be very unlikely became well known, although it is tidings that are not subject to doubt. But those who disbelieve in the meeting with their Lord will not believe, even if all signs were to come to them, until they see the painful punishment. Hence Allah says, nay, they will come to know. Again, nay, they will come to know. That is, they will come to know when the punishment and what they use to deny befalls them, when they are shoved forcibly towards the fire of hell, and it is said to them, "This is the fire which you use to deny." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the blessings and the proof that confirms the truthfulness of what the messengers brought.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرحيم من الشيطان الرجيم ألم نجعل الأرض مهادا والجبال أوتادا وخلقناكم أزواجا وجعلنا نومكم سباتا وجعلنا الليل لباسا وجعلنا النهار معاشا وبنينا فوقكم سبعا شدادا وجعلنا سراجا وهاجا وأنزلنا من المعصرات ماء ثجاجا لنخرج به حبا ونباتا وجنات ألفافا أي أما أنعمنا عليكم بنعم جليلة فجعلنا لكم الأرض مهادا أي ممهدة مهيئة لكم ولمصالحكم من الحروث والمساكن والسبل والجبال أوتادا تمسك الأرض لئلا تضطرب بكم وتميد وخلقناكم أزواجا أي ذكورا وإناثا من جنس واحد ليسكن كل منهما إلى الآخر فتكون المودة والرحمة وتنشأ عنهما الذرية في ضمن هذا الامتنان بلذة المنكح وجعلنا نومكم سباتا أي راحة لكم وقطعا لأشغالكم أي متى تمادت بكم أضرت بأبدانكم فجعل الله الليل والنوم يغشى الناس لتنقطع حركاتهم الضارة وتحصل راحتهم النافعة وبنينا فوقكم سبعا شدادا أي سبع سماوات في غاية القوة والصلابة والشدة وقد أمسكها الله بقدرته وجعلها سقفا للأرض فيها عدة منافع لهم ولهذا ذكر من منافعها الشمس فقال وجعلنا سراجا وهاجا نبه بالسراج على النعمة بنورها الذي صار كالضرورة للخلق وبالوهاج الذي فيه الحرارة أو بالوهاج الذي فيه الحرارة على حرارتها وما فيها من المصالح وأنزلنا من المعصرات أي السحاب ماء ثجاجا أي كثيرا جدا لنخرج به حبا من بر وشعير وذرة وأرز وغير ذلك مما يأكله الآدميون ونباتا يشمل سائر النبات الذي جعله الله قوتا لمواشيهم وجنات ألفافا أي بساتين ملتفة فيها من جميع أصناف الفواكه اللذيذة فالذي أنعم عليكم بهذه النعم العظيمة التي لا يقدر قدرها ولا يحصي عدها التي لا يقدر قدرها ولا يحصى عدها كيف تكفرون به؟ وتكذبون ما أخبركم به من البعث والنشور أم كيف تستعينون بنعمه على معاصيه وتجحدونها.
That is, have we not bestowed upon you immense blessings, for we have spread out the earth and made it ready for you to make use of it, by cultivating it, building dwellings on it, and taking roots through it. And made the mountains as pegs to hold the earth firm, lest it shake and shift. And created you in pairs, that is, male and female, from one race, so that each may find comfort in the other, and there will be love and compassion, and they will produce offspring together. This includes sexual pleasure. And made your sleep for rest, that is, so that you may cease your work, which, if you did not stop, would cause you physical harm. So Allah has caused the night and sleep to overtake people, so that their harmful physical activities may cease, and they may attain some needed rest. And built above you seven firmaments, that is, seven heavens, which are very strong, solid, and firm. Allah holds them by His might and has made them a roof for the earth, and there are many benefits in them. Hence, He mentions among their benefits the sun, as He says, and placed therein a blazing lamp. It is referred to as a lamp so as to highlight the blessing of its light, which is something necessary for people, and it is described as blazing, which is indicative of its heat and the benefits thereof. And sent down from the rain clouds water in torrents, that is, abundant and plentiful, so that we may bring forth thereby grains, such as wheat, barley, corn, rice, and other things that humans eat. And vegetation, this includes all vegetation that Allah has made as fodder for their livestock. And gardens dense with foliage, that is, gardens dense with trees, in which there are all kinds of delicious fruits. How could you disbelieve in the one who has bestowed these great, inestimable, and innumerable blessings upon you, and deny what he has told you about the resurrection? Or how could you use his blessings to disobey him and deny them?
Yeah, so we can consider this to be the first segment of Surah An-Naba. And we can conveniently divide Surah An-Naba into three segments, almost equal in length. This would be the first segment. And the first segment, again, introduces the disbelief and the denial that humans really indulge in. And it's not only at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or previous prophets. Amma yatasa'alun. What are they asking about? And they're asking in what? In a sense of rejection, in a sense of denial. That's what they're asking. So this is called the su'al al-inkari in the Arabic language. So questions in the Arabic language, and this is balagha, okay, are meant for different meanings. Not only asking for information. This would be istifham. Istifham is asking for information, asking for knowledge, for an answer. But there are allegorical uses of questions. So sometimes you ask a question to show denial, to show disapproval, right? So inkari is to show denial. عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ. What are they asking about? About the great news. Are they asking to find out? No, they're asking to reject as a sign of rejection. So humans are in denial. And it's been the case for generation after generation. No matter how civilizationally sophisticated humans become, they still, you know, recycle the same ideas, the same thoughts, but they just package them more nicely. They package them more, I would say, delightfully, more appealingly. That's what's happening now. So they have now, they present these questions about that with which they try to deny the hereafter and the afterlife with more philosophical arguments. Or they present them with what? With scientific evidence, right? Scientific evidence, so-called scientific evidence. So humans are still doing the same. But the reality of this, where does this come from? What is the root of this disbelief? Where does it come from? Anyone can guess? This disbelief comes from one origin. Huh? Oh, no, I'm not talking about only our time. All of these different ways of denying the hereafter and denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? It takes different shapes in different societies, different civilizations, different times, different arguments. Where does all of it has one common source? What is that? Yeah, whispers of shaitan. So these people who seem to be scientific and sophisticated, in reality, what they are doing, they're just mouthpieces for shaitan. Literally, that's what they are. They're mouthpieces for shaitan. They just create some seemingly sophisticated rationalization around the idea of disbelief, and then they present it scientifically. They present it philosophically. They present it sometimes in literary ways, through literature, through poetry, right? And different types of literature, novels, essays, whatever. But it all boils down to one thing. Literally, it's the whispers of shaitan. So they're just reproducing, repackaging the same idea. And if you can see through all of this facade, you will see that there is no sophistication. There is mere denial and ungratefulness. That's all. Okay, so humans have always been doing this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. Then they disagree about. So what does this mean? They disagree. The believers believe in it, accept it, and the disbelievers act in denial, right? So they are different in this. But also those who disbelieve are in disagreement because they, dis, They deny it for different reasons. Each one has their own reasons, their own rationalizations. And they will actually set up debates and podcasts. And they will seem, again, very fashionable, trendy, right? And they will talk about these ideas and that ideas, and this philosopher said this, and this philosopher said that, and the science proves this, and the science proves that. And it really impresses you. But what is this? This is just reproducing, repackaging the same arguments that Shaitan presented, which is denial of the most obvious truth. That's the reality of it. Okay? Allah, what is the response to this? Allah says, كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. They shall know. They shall know what? They shall know the Day of Judgment when they see it. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. Then one more time, they shall know. So there is no doubt about this. I think one person came to Imam Ahmad, one of the students of Imam Ahmad came to him, and he said, يَا إِمَامِ إِنَّ فُلَانًا يُنْكِرُ عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ. At the time of Imam Ahmad, you know, the Mu'tazila became very prominent. The Mu'tazila became very prominent. And the Mu'tazila, they call themselves the rationalists. Why? Because they internalized Greek logic, philosophy, and they started using it as the way to process revelation. So they obviously departed from the true meaning of revelation many times, and they diverged from the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they came up with very, very weird understandings. But they became, a lot of them, found their way into the government, into the bodies of government. So they actually held power. So they started to have influence, exercise influence, to the point that, again, you know, the famous, you know, what is called al-fitna, fitnatu khalq al-Qur'an, where they imposed upon everyone to claim that the Qur'an was creation. And we know in the Sunnah, in the Islamic legislation, the Qur'an is what? Is the speech of Allah. The Qur'an is of divine nature. The Qur'an is of divine nature. I'm glad you got rid of the hiss. Yeah, something was bothering me, but I didn't know what it was. So, that the Qur'an was created, was the creation. And that's a serious thing. The Qur'an is the attribute of Allah, the attribute of speech. Allah spoke the Qur'an. Anyways, so one of the students of Imam Ahmad came, and the Mu'tazila, some of them, they said, you know, there's no proof, there's only some ahadith, and we doubt their authenticity, that talk about adab al-qabr, punishment in the grave. So they denied it. They said there's no punishment in the grave. But we know from the ijma' of the companions, radiallahu anhum, we know from the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and the consensus of the companions that there is the punishment of the grave. So this student came to Imam Ahmad and he said, إِنَّ فُلَانًا يُنْكِرُ عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ. So-and-so, a notable person, denies عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ, the punishment of the grave. What shall I say? Like many enthusiastic Muslims now, they say, you know, my friend says this, how can I convince them of Islam? Someone says, you know, the Prophet ﷺ waged war unfairly and unjustly, and Islam spread by the sword. You know, how can I convince them? You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Those who disbelieve, whether you warn them or you don't, they won't believe. Does that mean we don't give da'wah? No, you give da'wah. But the thing is, as Allah said to the Prophet ﷺ, فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَرَاتٍ. Don't let yourself go after them with so much, you know, concern. Don't, like, literally, like, don't rip yourself apart with worry and concern for their guidance. You just have to convey the message in the best way possible. Now, if they accept it, alhamdulillah. If they don't accept, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتُ. You don't guide those that you love. Okay. So, again, go back to Imam Ahmad. So the student said, إِنَّ فُلَانًا يُنْكِرُ عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ. So-and-so denies عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ. He says, there's no عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ. There's no punishment in the grave. قال Imam Ahmad, دَعْهُ سَيَمُوتُ وَيَرَاهُ بِعِينِهِ. leave him. He's going to die. He's going to see it with his own eyes. Why are you so, like, why are you dying to convince him of something he refuses to believe in? When the evidence is produced to him, he denies. Why are you so concerned about him, right? You don't have control over the hearts of people. So Allah says, this is pretty much what Imam Ahmad said was actually following this surah. Allah says, كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. Nay, they shall know it. They shall come to know it. And again, they shall come to know it. How? By coming face to face with it. So that's the only way. Some people, فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوُوا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمِ. Allah says, the disbelievers will not believe until they see what? The truth. They see the punishment itself. Then they would believe. Then they would believe. Okay, النبأ العظيم. Allah calls it the great news. This is the greatest thing because that's the most, that's the grandiest thing that's ever going to happen in the life of humans, the transition to the hereafter. The arrival of the hereafter. When we said previously, all the creatures will die, right? When the trumpet is blown, all the creatures will die. Another blow will happen and all the creatures will die, including the angel of death himself. Everyone will die and the only one would remain alive. The only one is Al-Hayy Alladhi La Yamut, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And we said in the authentic hadith that Allah would say, Ana Al-Malik, Ana Al-Jabbar, Ayn Al-Muluk, Ayn Al-Jababira. I'm the king, I'm the almighty. Where are the kings? Where are the tyrants? Where are they? Silence. Nothing. Because there's nothing in existence but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why it's a naba al-azim. It's the greatest thing that is going to happen. Because we here in a some sort of a test. We are in this trial. But the reality is actually the hereafter. وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Okay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah shows the context as to why believing in the hereafter is actually a very logical and obvious conclusion. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادَ وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَ. Allah enumerates His blessings and His blessings in the natural world, His signs in the natural world, that the earth is really designed for humans to function on it. Perfectly designed for them. Is that a coincidence? وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَ. And the mountains as pegs that hold the earth stable so that humans can be safe on top of it. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. We created you in pairs, male and female. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. So again, for the reproduction, for the continuation of the human race. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. And وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. And we gave you sleep so that you could what? You could recover from the physical activity that, what does it do? Physical activity, you know, consumes your body. So Allah gave you sleep and He gave you a right medium for sleep, which is the night, so that you could recover. And this is how you can stay healthy. Otherwise, you would wear out. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. And we made the day the time or the context for seeking livelihood, for you to work and seek a living and take care of your family and so on and so forth. وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا. And we built above you seven heavens that are very well built. Again, all of this magnificent creation, you know, what is the chance each one of them is happening, you know, by random? It's a very remote possibility. So what about all of that being together? Then all of that, obviously, the only logical conclusion that this is designed with purpose. Everything is put right in place. Everything is designed to the exact degree. Any small, tiny change would send the world into complete chaos. But everything is exactly measured for human life. You know, now we're talking about heat waves, right? So there's heat waves and people are just posting numbers of the temperature here and there in different countries. And they're saying it's like boiling here and people making eggs, right, under the sun, in the heat of the sun. So what does this tell us? What is a lesson that we can take from this?
is that, you know, subhanAllah, the temperature around the earth is designed to make human life possible. It's within that range. Once it starts getting outside of that range a little bit, life becomes almost impossible. Almost impossible. So we have a range of degrees that we can live within. And obviously with facilities that Allah has put in our way. But if it gets higher than that, if the whole range moves and it gets hotter than that, there will get a point where human life becomes almost impossible. Or if it the whole range goes down, that it becomes actually colder, you know, human life becomes impossible, except maybe in certain areas of the earth. So what makes life possible all around the earth, except maybe for the North Pole? What makes it and the South Pole, what makes it impossible? Or what makes it possible? It's design, it's not random. All of these things, we got them right by chance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the logical conclusions for any sound mind, for any aql, is when you see all of this right in place, you realize, you know, this is design, this is perfect design. So Allah says, all of what you are in now really points to one fact, you know, is that there is hereafter, there is life after this, and there is a purpose behind all of that. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the simple message that Allah is sending here, and that He sent rain. Rain gives life to ourselves, again, water, and it grows the vegetation, and it's food eventually for livestock, so we can survive, so we can live. And by the way, any attempt by humans to mess with this balance is gonna, you know, start creating corruption on the earth. Serious imbalances. You know, there's a lot of motions now for banning eating animal meat. Right? You can only live on vegetables, fruits. You become vegetarian, basically. There's no need to be so, like, again, void of mercy that you slaughter viciously all these animals and eat their meat, right? But subhanAllah, some researchers and some scholars, they actually looked into this possibility. They created a model, like an algorithm, a program, to sort of predict what could happen if humans stopped eating sheep, cows, etc., livestock. And they really, the results were shocking. That in a few years, livestock would grow, that human life becomes unsustainable. In a few years, like, or at least maybe a couple of decades, that human life, that humanity would be on the verge of complete annihilation. Why? Because of so many things. You won't have enough food to feed all of these animals. That's number one. Number two, you know, the waste of these animals would create more greenhouse effect, more pollution in the world, that it would corrupt the quality of the air around, that it would become impossible for humans to live. Conditions would be impossible for humans to live. So again, this is what happens when humans start to interfere with the balance that Allah put in place. Whether again, it's creating male and female, or with regards even to even the legal system, even the financial system. So some systems are quite, like the destruction that they would bring about is very immediate and visible, but some systems are more subtle and they take longer periods of time to create the damage. Both of them are serious. So capitalism that we live in, it literally destroys human society, but so slowly. And it has its ups and downs, so people will still see some good. And that good will help them be patient with the evil that comes about. But eventually it's going to get to a point where, you know, it's going to turn the human condition to be impossible. So humans go against the legislation of Allah, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at their own peril. They're going to pay for that. Okay, khair inshallah. So let's go to the second half, second part of the surah. We said it's conveniently, you know, divided into three segments. Second segment, Allah is going to just introduce the Day of Judgment, and Allah will talk about the disbelievers, those who deny An-Naba Al-Azim, this great news about this great day, this grand day. Okay, what is going to happen to them? Now, let them talk now. Let them dominate the media. Let them dominate academia. Let them win debates. Whatever, no problem. On the Day of Judgment, what's going to happen, that's what really matters. This is what really matters. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِيقَاتًا يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالُ فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مِرْصَادًا لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا إلا حميما وغساقا جزاء وفاقا إنهم كانوا لا يرجون حسابا وكذبوا بآياتنا كذابا وكل شيء أحصيناه كتابا فذوقوا فلن نزيدكم إلا عذابا. ذكر تعالى ما يكون في يوم القيامة الذي يتساءل عنه المكذبون ويجحده المعاندون أنه يوم عظيم وأن الله جعله ميقاتا للخلق ينفخ في الصور فتأتون أفواجا ويجري فيه من الزعازع والقلاق لما يشيب له الوليد وتنزعج له القلوب فتسير الجبال حتى تكون كالهباء المبثوث وتشقق السماء حتى تكون أبوابا ويفصل الله بين الخلائق بحكمه الذي لا يجور وتوقد نار جهنم التي أرصدها الله وأعدها للطاغين وجعلها مثوى لهم ومآبا وأنهم يلبثون فيها أحقابا كثيرا. والحقب أو الحقب على ما قاله كثير من المفسرين 80 سنة وهم إذا وردوها لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا أي لا ما يبرد جلودهم ولا ما يدفع ظمأهم إلا حميما أي ماء حارا يشوي وجوههم ويقطع أمعاءهم وغساقا وهو صديد أهل النار الذي هو في غاية النتن وكراهة المذاق وإنما استحقوا هذه العقوبات الفظيعة جزاء لهم ووفاقا على ما عملوا من الأعمال الموصلة إليهم لم يظلمهم الله ولكن ظلموا أنفسهم ولهذا ذكر أعمالهم التي استحقوا بها هذا الجزاء فقال إنهم كانوا لا يرجون حسابا أي لا يؤمنون بالبعث ولا أن الله يجازي الخلق بالخير والشر فلذلك أهملوا العمل للآخرة وكذبوا بآياتنا كذابا أي كذبوا بها تكذيبا واضحا صريحا وجاءتهم البينات فعاندوها.
Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what will happen on the day of resurrection, about which the disbelievers ask one another and which the stubborn deny. It will be a momentous day which Allah has made a time appointed for all creatures. The day when the trumpet will be blown and you will come forth in crowds. And there will occur such troubles and turmoil that will turn children's hair gray and cause great distress. The mountains will be moved from their places until they become like scattered dust, and the heavens will be rent asunder until they become like gateways. Allah will judge between all creatures according to His rule, which is never unfair. The fire of hell, which Allah has prepared for the evildoers and has made it a destination for them, will be lit, and they will remain therein for countless eons. According to many commentators, the word haqab, translated here as eons, refers to a period of 80 years. When they come to the fire, they will not taste any coolness nor any drink. That is, they will find nothing to cool their skin or to ward off their thirst. Except scalding water, that is, hot water that will scald their faces and pierce their bowels. And pus, this is the pus of the people of hell, which has an extremely foul stench and horrible taste. They will deserve these frightening punishments as a fitting recompense for what they did of deeds that brought them to it. Allah will not wrong them, rather they will have wronged themselves. Therefore, Allah mentions their deeds for which they will deserve this punishment, as He says, Indeed, they did not fear a reckoning, that is, they did not believe in the resurrection, and they did not believe that Allah will requite people for both good and evil, so they failed to strive for the hereafter. And they rejected our revelations outright, that is, they rejected them clearly and blatantly, and when clear proofs came to them, they stubbornly denied them.
قال وكل شيء من قليل وكثير وخير وشر أحصيناه كتابا وكل شيء أحصيناه كتابا أي كتبناه في اللوح المحفوظ فلا يخشى المجرمون أن عذبناهم بذنوب لم يعملوها ولا يحسب أنهم يضيع من أعمالهم شيء أو ينسى منها مثقال ذرة كما قال تعالى ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا فذوقوا أيها المكذبون هذا العذاب الأليم والخزي الدائم فلن نزيدكم إلا عذابا وكل وقت وحين يزداد عذابهم وهذه الآيات أشد الآيات في شدة عذاب أهل النار أجارنا الله منها.
We have kept an account of all things, small and great, good and evil, in a book that is, we have recorded in it in a lawh al-mahfuz. So the evildoers should not be concerned that we will punish them for the sins that they never did, or think that any of their deeds will go to waste, or that even an atom's weight of them will be forgotten. This is like the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the record of deeds will be placed in their hands, and you will see the evildoers filled with dread at what it contains. They will say, woe to us, what sort of record is this that leaves no deed, small or great, unaccounted for? They will find all they did recorded there, and your Lord will not wrong anyone. So taste, O disbelievers, this painful punishment and eternal requital. We shall not increase you in aught but torment, and at all times and every moment their punishment will increase. This verse is the sternest of those verses that describe the severity of the punishment for the people of hell. May Allah protect us from it.
Okay, so the second segment gives a brief description of the Day of Judgment. Inna yawm al-fasli. Allah called it here yawm al-fasl. Let's try to see how many names we've come across so far about the Day of Judgment, or even other names that you can think of from the Quran. Other than yawm al-qiyamah, what did we see? Here, يوم الفصل. And we'll come to that. What does that mean? What are other names that we have for يوم القيامة? يوم الدين. يوم الدين. What is يوم الدين? Recompense. دين, okay, is recompense. You pay back. Okay. يوم يدين الله الناس بأعمالهم. And Allah recompenses people, okay, by means of their deeds. What other names are? يوم التغابن. Why is it يوم التغابن? What does it mean? تغابن. You know when someone is taken for a ride, they are cheated, and then when it's too late, they figure out. How do they feel? Cheated. That's what التغابن is. But who cheated them? They cheated themselves. يوم التغابن. What else? Other names. يوم الحسرة, the day of what? Remorse, regret. ويوم يعض الظالم على يديه, right? When the oppressor, the wrongdoers, they would bite their hands in regret and remorse. Imagine the pain. Imagine the pain, again, the internal pain. Okay, someone said something here. يوم what? يوم الحساب. Yes, يوم الحساب. يوم الحساب is the day of what? Reckoning, right? Allah will hold people accountable. Yes. ذلك اليوم الحق, the day of the truth, or the true day. It's inevitable. It's true. There's no doubt about it. Yes. يوم الحشر, نعم. يوم الحشر, what's يوم الحشر? When people are grouped together, الحشر, يحشر الناس. People are grouped and crowded together. Yes. What else?
فإذا جاءت الصاخة. الصاخة is one of the names. صاخة, we said striker. It strikes, right? Because it strikes everyone. What else? فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى. طامة, we said very powerful word, right? طامة. It sort of covers with so much force. طيب. Huh? القارعة أحسنت قارعة قارعة what is it again striker is more like hammer it hammers قارعة قارعة okay يوم الفصل what does الفصل mean say something I can yes separation sifting sifting Allah is gonna set apart the believers from the disbelievers okay many times in the Quran Allah says that people will be أحشر الذين ظلموا وأزواجهم right crowd the wrongdoers and their likes أزواج here is not their spouses it's their likes okay so the disbelievers evildoers will be together and the believers will be together separate they will be separated that's يوم الفصل but also يوم الفصل فصل is what in the Arabic language فصل is what okay yeah class why because it separates students in groups that's why it's called class الفصل فصل القضاء give you a clue for those who know Arabic what's فصل القضاء in the court system final decision فصل فصل بين فصل بين المتخاصمين in the court system you would judge between two people in a dispute okay فصل because Allah will what Allah will give people their rights disputes and we mentioned a few times that if you have someone that you wronged in your life make sure that you know relieve yourself of any burden of any rights of other people before you leave here because it's going to be difficult at that moment so make sure that you get rid of all the rights that are upon you okay so Allah describes this as inna yawm al-fasli kana miqata where do we find the same word miqat in the Quran close to it huh miqat in okay miqat is not in the Quran it's in the sunnah miqat is where actually you start your hajj but there's miqat a form of miqat okay mawqut Where do we find موقوت? إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. صلاة was written upon people موقوتا. What's موقوتا? Timed. From وقت. وقت is time. See, we mentioned many times how the whole concept of a صرف in the Arabic language morphology from the root that you can derive a lot of meanings but all of them can be traced back to the meaning of the root a variation of that meaning waqt is time mawqut timed it's timed inna yawm al-fasli kana miqata same thing it is timed it has an appointed time it's going to happen طيب inna yawm al-fasli kana miqata yawma yunfakhu fi as-sur again when the trumpet is blown فتأتون أفواجا you're gonna come in crowds وفتحت السماء فكانت أبوابا the skies as you know them will open up they would have gates so they are not like you know them they are complete they are perfect now but on the day of judgment they're gonna open up you will see them cracked وانشقت السماء skies will open so they will not be as you know them وسيرت الجبال فكانت سرابا and the mountains will do what they will be in motion the mountains will not be stable they stabilize the earth in this life but on the day of judgment what's going to happen they're going to start rapidly moving they will not be stable that to show you that whatever you count on to be stable is gone now there's nothing but Allah and the only thing that can benefit you is the good deeds All of the things that you used to take for granted will change. All of them will change state. So the mountains will start moving. إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مِرْصَادًا Jahannam has always been in wait, has always been prepared. It's been lying in wait for those who deserve its punishment. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا For the transgressors, it will be a place that they will dwell forever. مَآبًا أَبْ Aba as a verb. Aba. Ibrahim alayhi salam was what? Awwab. Awwab. Why is he awwab? Because he used to return to Allah. Awwab. Return to Allah. So Ma'aba is the place that you return to. So the people of the hellfire will return to the hellfire. What does that mean? They were written for the hellfire. When they were created, they were written for the hellfire. Does that mean that they were forced into the hellfire? No. But Allah knew that they were going to make it to the hellfire. So He wrote them and He created them for the hellfire. So they were returned to where they were written, where they were meant to be. In a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْجَنَّ وَخَلَقَ لَهَا أَهْلِينَ وَخَلَقَ النَّارَ وَخَلَقَ لَهَا أَهْلِينَ. Allah created Jannah and He created people for it, and Allah created the hellfire and created people for it. You might say, why did Allah create people for the hellfire? Does that mean He forces them? He doesn't force them. People choose to go there. We spoke many times about Al-Qadr, that you can't just simply understand it as one of the events of this life. You have to look at it at two levels. And none of them denies or none of them negates the other. Do people have the capacity to choose which path to take? Yes. It's undeniable and you can feel it as a first-hand experience. I can choose to pray and I can choose to ignore the prayer. Perfect, that's good. But all of that is happening within a bigger framework, within a bigger context, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing happens but what Allah wrote down. But Allah doesn't force people into disbelief. And Allah doesn't force people into belief. And can everyone really, you know, grasp this fully? No. What do you do when I find it confusing? Believe. Believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. We're going to come to that, inshallah. It's in Surah Al-Insan, which is a very important surah. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ. For those who choose to take the straight path. So Allah, what did Allah say? Choose. So you choose. Right? Allah confirms that you have choice in this regard. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. And you don't choose, you're unable to choose unless Allah chooses. Unless Allah allows this choice. So the bigger choice, the final word is with Allah. Both of them are true. Allah's choice does not negate yours. Your choice does not negate Allah's choice. Each one of them works at its own level. Someone says, I can't understand this. Believe in it. Believe in it. And you would get reward for that. And you would save yourself. You say, but I want to look at what others say. Get into what others say and you will get more confused. People who did not fathom this, what did they do? They started trying to figure this out in their minds. That's why we have deviant groups in Islam. We have Al-Qadariya and we have Al-Jabriya. Right? And then whatever branches come out of those. Al-Qadariya, what do they say? They say, if we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses people to be in paradise and the hellfire, right? Then this means people have no choice. Allah forces them. And it's unfair, unjust. On the opposite side, we have what? Al-Jabriya, who say, if we say humans choose, that means humans initiate something or create something independently of Allah. That means we have ascribed creativity to other than Allah. There is Khaliq, there is a creator other than Allah. Humans choose independently. That means they create their choices independently. There's a creator besides Allah, then that is shirk. That's when you try to work it out in your mind. So what do we do? Believe. Are there minds that can understand both? Yes. Yes. Humans have always understood this. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, if you are unable to get this and fathom this, he says, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ أَوْ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَتَّسِعْ بِطَانُكَ لِهَذَا. If your heart could not accommodate this duality, فَدَعْهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ قُلُوبًا خُلِقَتْ لَهُ. Leave it. Leave it. There are hearts created for this type of knowledge. وَانْشَغِلْ بِمَا تَسْتَطِعْ. And busy yourself with the things that you are able to deal with. That's a very good recipe. It's a very good recipe. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will return to the hellfire, لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا. They're going to stay in it for ages, eons, infinitely. لَا يَذُوقُونَ فِيهَا بَرْدًا وَلَا شَرَابًا. There is no بَرْدًا. بَرْدًا here means relief in terms of coolness. Coolness. So they will experience the heat, the burning fire, right? وَلَا شَرَابًا, no drink to ease that heat. Something we can relate to in a heat wave, right? You need to drink more liquids, cold liquids. But we know that in the hellfire, there are two types of punishment. There is the heat and there is the extreme cold. What is the extreme cold mentioned? What is it named? Extreme cold, cold what? Zamharir. Zamharir. Zamharir is extreme cold. So in the hellfire, there's extreme heat and extreme cold. But there is nothing in the middle that is present, that is pleasant. So they are tortured by both. So burden here is not, bird here means the coolness. There is no coolness which is convenient and pleasant. إِلَّا حَمِيمًا وَغَسَّاقًا. Right, so they're going to drink this hot, very boiling drink that again has all of the body excretions and pus of the people of the hellfire being boiled and they will have to drink it. And again, it would burn their stomach and their internals. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. They used to deny any kind of accounts. Allah reminds us of the times when they were arrogant. You know, there's no proof there is life after death. All of that is nonsense. You get that from, you know, false prophets. You believe in this because it's convenient, right? So they were arrogant and they held conferences. And then again, they held debates and they invited people and they sold tickets for big amounts of money. And they seemed like intellectuals and they were celebrated and they were respected. And they flew business class. And they had probably millions on their social media of followers. Right? But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. They did not believe in any account. They denied it. Here is the outcome. وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا. And they disbelieved in our signs. And everything is documented and written. And the verse that, subhanAllah, Shaykh ibn Sa'di rahimahullah says, he says it's like the most difficult verse. فَذُوقُوا. Taste. فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. Taste, we will not increase you except more pain. So they are screaming out of pain. We know that the people of the hellfire, they were screaming, وَقَالُوا يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِي عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ. They would scream out to Malik, who is the angel who overlooks the hellfire. And they would say, let Allah cause us to die. Just cause us to die. Like death is a relief from what they're going through, right? Allah says to them, ذُوقُوا. فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. Taste it. The only thing that you will get from us is more pain. Is more pain. And that shows you the seriousness of disbelief. It shows you the seriousness again of wasting your time listening and reading to things that cause you might to doubt your faith. You need to take that seriously. People think it's, it's fun. People think it's a good way to become an intellectual, like read all the stuff that causes you doubts in your faith. Don't mess with that. The Prophet ﷺ saw Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu holding a piece from old scriptures, from the people of the scripture. His face turned red. He was very angry. He said, Ya Umar, wallahi law kana Musa hayyan ma wasi'ahu illa an yattabi'ani. Oh Umar, wallah, if Musa alayhi salam was alive, he would have no choice but to follow me. So again, it's important for a believer not to, people say, oh, you know, I'll read this and I'll read that, I can tell what's right from what's wrong. No, most what's wrong and most what's evil and false is sugar-coated. It's sugar-coated and you can easily fall for it. A lot of the discord, a lot of the, you know, the splits that happened in the history of the Muslim Ummah were a result of what? A result of foreign beliefs being smuggled into Islam. smuggled into Islam, starting with some Persian beliefs and ideas brought into Islam and caused what? Al-Rafidah. Some misunderstanding and again very basic mathematical understanding brought about the Khawarij. Then we have, after all of the translation of the Greek philosophies and literature, you have all of the different groups that started coming out, starting with Al-Mu'tazila, and then, you know, all the different groups that belong to Ilm al-Kalam, right? That still survive until today. That caused a lot of confusion and brought about a lot of enmities among the Muslims, split the Muslims. Okay, so فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. He says this is the like one of the strongest verses of adab, because it's he's talking about the experience, like you are so like desperate for relief and all you're gonna get is more pain, because you deserve it. Okay, someone says, oh, where is mercy? When you put mercy where it doesn't belong, this is the opposite of wisdom, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be described with anything opposite other than wisdom. Allah knows where to put everything and He puts it where it belongs. Okay, we move on to the last part, which is the description of the believers, where they are going to end up. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا دهاقا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا. لما ذكر حال المجرمين ذكر مآل المتقين فقال إن للمتقين مفازا أي الذين اتقوا سخط ربهم بالتمسك بطاعته والانكفاف عما يكرهه فلهم مفاز ومنجع وبعد عن النار. وفي ذلك المفاز لهم حدائق وهي البساتين الجامعة لأصناف الأشجار الزاهية في الثمار التي تتفجر بين خلالها الأنهار وخص الأعناب لشرفه وكثرته في تلك الحدائق ولهم فيها زوجات على مطالب النفوس كواعب وهي النواهد التي لم تتكسر ثديهن مع شبابهن وقوتهن ونضارتهن والأتراب التي على سن واحد متقارب ومن عادة الأتراب أن يكن متآلفات متعاشرات وذلك السن الذي هن فيه 33 سنة في أعدل سن الشباب وكأسا دهاقا أي مملوءة من رحيق لذة للشاربين لا يسمعون فيها لغوا أي كلاما لا فائدة فيه ولا كذابا أي إثما كما قال تعالى لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما وإنما أعطاهم الله هذا الثواب الجزيل من فضله وإحسانه جزاء من ربك لهم عطاء حسابا أي بسبب أعمالهم التي وفقهم الله لها وجعلها ثمنا لجنته ونعيمها.
Having described the situation of the evildoers, Allah now describes the destination of the righteous, as He says, "Verily, for the righteous there will be salvation, that is, for those who fear the wrath of their Lord by consistently obeying Him and refraining from that which He dislikes, there will be salvation, and they will be kept far away from the fire. By virtue of that salvation, they will have gardens containing all kinds of trees, colorful and bearing fruit, through which rivers run. Vineyards or grapevines are singled out for mention because of their high quality and abundance in those gardens. And they will have wives as they would like, youthful companions of equal age, that is, all close in age. Usually people who are close in age get along and are in harmony. The age in question is 33 years, which is the prime of youth. And a cup that is full of nectar that is delicious for those who drink it. They will not hear therein any vain talk, that is, talk in which there is no benefit, or lies, that is, sin. This is like the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will not hear therein any vain talk or sinful speech, but only the salutation, peace, peace. Rather, Allah will give them this great reward by His grace and bounty as a recompense from your Lord to them, as a generous gift that is because of the good deeds that Allah enabled them to do and which He made the price of admittance to paradise and its delights.
قال أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا. أي الذي أعطاهم هذه العطايا هو ربهم رب السماوات والأرض الذي خلقها ودبرها، الرحمن الذي رحمته وسعت كل شيء فرباهم ورحمهم ولطف بهم حتى أدركوا ما أدركوا، ثم ذكر عظمته وملكه العظيم يوم القيامة وأن جميع الخلق كلهم ذلك اليوم ساكتون لا يتكلمون ولا يملكون منه خطابا إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا، فلا يتكلم أحد إلا بهذين الشرطين، أن يأذن الله له في الكلام وأن يكون ما تكلم به صوابا، لأن ذلك اليوم هو الحق الذي لا يروج فيه الباطل ولا ينفع فيه الكذب، وفي ذلك اليوم يقوم الروح وهو جبريل عليه السلام الذي هو أشرف الملائكة، والملائكة أيضا يقوم الجميع صفا خاضعين لله لا يتكلمون إلا بما أذن لهم الله به، فلما رغب ورحب وبشر وأنذر قال فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا، أي عملا وقدم صدق يرجع إليه يوم القيامة. إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا لأنه قد أزف مقبلا وكل ما هو آت فهو قريب، يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه أي هذا الذي يهمه ويفزع إليه، فلينظر في هذه الدنيا إليه كما قال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون الآيات، فإن وجد خيرا فليحمد الله وإن وجد غير ذلك فلا يلومن إلا نفسه، ولهذا كان الكفار يتمنون الموت من شدة الحسرة والندم. نسأل الله أن يعافينا من الكفر والشر كله إنه جواد كريم. تم تفسير سورة عما والحمد لله رب العالمين.
The one who will bestow these gifts upon them is their Lord, and the Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that is between them, that is the one who created them and controls them, the most gracious, whose mercy encompasses all things. So he took care of them and had mercy on them and showed kindness to them until they attained what they attained. Then Allah mentions his greatness and mighty power on the day of resurrection, and tells us that on that day all creatures will be silent and will not speak. None will speak except those to whom the Most Gracious gives permission, and they will say only what is right. So no one will speak unless he meets these two conditions, that Allah has given him permission to speak and that what he says is right. That is because that day is true and is sure to come. It is a day on which falsehood will never prosper and lying will be of no benefit. On that day, the spirit, namely Jibril alayhi salam, who is the noblest of the angels, and the angels will stand in rows, submitting to Allah. None will speak any words except what Allah gives them permission to say. After offering encouragement to strive for paradise and mentioning frightening news of hell, after giving glad tidings and warnings, Allah says, so let him who will seek a way back to his Lord, that is, let him do righteous deeds so that he may return with that on the day of resurrection. Verily, we have warned you of a punishment that is approaching. The word translated here as approaching literally means near, for everything that is approaching is near. The day when a man will see what his hands had wrought, that is, this is what will concern him and alarm him. So let him think about that in this world. This is like the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, fear Allah and let every soul consider what it has sent forth for tomorrow. And fear Allah, for verily Allah is well aware of all that you do. If he finds that his deeds are good, then let him praise Allah. But if he finds otherwise, let him blame no one but himself. Hence, the disbelievers will wish for death because of the intensity of their regret and remorse. We ask Allah to keep us safe from disbelief and all evil, for He is the most generous, most kind.
Jazakallahu khairan. So again, this third segment and the final segment of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the believers, the pious ones, they will be the winners. They will get the best end. In very simple terms, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابَ. Allah mentions details about what they are going to get. Again, gardens and blessings, وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ and spouses, وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقَ. And again, the
the drinks of paradise, they are not like the drinks, again, the intoxicating drinks of this life. They bring ecstasy and elation to the people of paradise, but without the harmful and the negative effect of, for example, alcoholic drinks or drugs, etc. There is the concept of winning, passing the test, making it to paradise. That's number one. Number two, talking about the environment, the natural environment in which they live, and the blessings, the food, whatever around us, the seen things in paradise, the blessings. Then Allah talks about what? The private life. The private life of these people, they will have وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابًا, and they will have the most beautiful women. And Allah gives some sort of a, which is very respectful description by the Arabs, physical description of women. And Allah even describes their age as that they are close in age. Atrab means, again, Atrab are the people like a cohort that grows together, they are of the same age. That's what Atrab is. Friends who are of the same age, that grow over time together. So, kawa'iba Atraba. Okay, so these, the wives that the people of paradise will get, again, they will be of the most pleasant, the most beautiful, and there's detailed description by the Prophet ﷺ of those al-hur, right? And their age will be, again, the best age. And the age of the people of paradise is 33, right? It will remain 33. And this is why here Ibn Sa'di is drawing the conclusion that most likely the age of the Hur al-Ain will be the same age as well, will be 33. Nothing to compare about this life, but it's just, again, a piece of information. Somebody might ask, you know what, let me leave this towards the end. Then, okay, the private life. Then, وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا. Again, more of the drink, the enjoyment, the delights, the savory aspect of life, which is, again, a big part of enjoyment. And also the moral environment is so beautiful that you don't hear any bad words, any false statements. There's no lying, there's no deception. And there is no speech that is meaningless, like there's no need for it. Everything is meaningful. Everything that is said, you know, is said right on spot and is meaningful. Only meaningful communication happens there. Only good things are being communicated. And rightful things. وَلَا كِذَّبَ جَزَاءً مِنْ رَبِّكَ. It's a recompense from your Lord as a reward, as gratitude. Allah is a shakur. Okay. Yeah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and He is the merciful as well. But on the day, He is the master of the day of judgment. No one speaks, no one does anything except by His permission. Because the absolute sovereignty of Allah is clear on the day of judgment. In this life, Allah allows on the surface, you know, in order to allow people choice, right? Allah allows violations. But other than that, Allah, on the day of judgment, nothing. Complete might and power and control by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can say anything except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, yeah, that's the day of truth. And I think, I really believe, reading this surah so many times is going to increase your faith and your iman in the hereafter. You're going to start to get to a point where it's so evident to you than before. And that's what I would recommend you actually read it. Use this week to read it a few times and see what's the impact it's going to leave on you. Then Allah says, we've warned you about an approaching punishment. When a person would see it, what they have brought forth, what they have done, what actions that they have brought forth, and the disbeliever would say, I wish I were dust. Because dust, okay, out, is opting out of it. But there's no way out, you're stuck. You are stuck, and that's one of the most painful things, that you are doomed for life and you can't opt out. You can't just say, I'm out of this. Like that's the big risk that disbelievers do. That disbelievers take. You're literally playing with fire. You are taking chances on something that, even from your perspective, might be true, might not be true. You are just taking chances with something that, if You can't pull out of. You can't pull out of. That's the risk that you're taking. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention in the Quran the blessings that from the perspective of men? Blessings. There are general blessings, but Allah talks more about what men are going to get in terms of spouses. Why doesn't Allah talk about what women get? No, but Allah mentions what men are going to get, and sometimes in detail, even the Prophet ﷺ. But there's no description of the men that the women are going to get, and what they're going to enjoy with regards to that. Why? There's a very good reason for that. Anyone can think of an answer? Because in an environment like this, where there's a lot of influence from feminism, you know, sometimes people think, oh, that's a valid thought, right? But it's important to be careful, you know, what's going on with our minds. What have we absorbed and we're not aware of it? What we have swallowed and we never even questioned it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Doesn't the one who created know? He is the subtle, he is the kind, and he is the all-knowing. He knows his servants inside out. The nature of women, women are born with so much shyness. A great part of their beauty is this bashfulness. That when you talk about the private life, the nature of women, if it's not corrupted, don't like explicit descriptions. It's offensive to the female taste. And it's not as they claim, it's the influence of this patriarchal society. It's not social construct. It is the inborn nature of humanity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put something offensive to women in the Quran. Women understand a remote gesture. They get it. No need to talk so explicitly. Otherwise, this haya, this bashfulness, this beautiful trait of the women, not only for women, it's for men, but with women it's just more manifest. It's a shield for them. It's the veil that keeps them intact, pure, and protected. Because once it's broken, it's like glass. You can never bring it back together. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not violate this nature of women. Even when women and society violates that and destroys it in women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring women back to their pure nature. And in the Quran, that's the reminder. Because some people really asked, like, saw this question, why doesn't Allah describe in detail what Allah so there's more like bias towards men. Allah describes what men are going to get, but not what women are going to get. Where is justice? Justice, you know what? You can't talk about justice when your human nature has been violated and you have lost it to such a degree. You need to work on repairing yourself, putting the pieces together before you start talking about justice, truth, or anything. You're in such a bad shape spiritually, morally, psychologically. And now, you know what? There are actually courses now, you know, that treat you to kill this beautiful attribute of bashfulness. They can treat you from shyness. Actually, there's a debate in some circles. And this is why we have to be very careful as we deal with social sciences. There is a lot of ideology in them. There is a lot of philosophy, un-Islamic, atheistic philosophy behind them. So that's the problem with Muslims. Just, you know, whatever psychologists say, let's take it. Whatever mental health professionals say, take it as a truth. You have to be careful. There is a lot of ideology. There's a lot of bias. There's a lot of inaccuracy. There's a lot of debate going on there. There is actually a debate whether to classify shyness as a mental health issue, as a disease that needs to be treated. There are actually pills that you can take to, you know, get rid of shyness. Yeah, and shyness, what we define as shyness, it's actually under the description now, it falls under the umbrella. It's not the same thing, but it's under the umbrella of what they call today social anxiety. And then you will hear actually sometimes imams, Muslim personalities, yeah, social anxiety is a big issue. And they don't realize that they're actually going against their own religion, the etiquettes and the beauty of their own religion, by adopting something they don't even understand. Because we have secularized our understanding of Islam. A lot of these issues are actually Islamic issues. But they have been secularized under social sciences so that Muslims can swallow them, buy into them, without thinking about Islam. And then we keep edging Islam out and limiting it to a little bit of theory that has no bearing on our daily life. And that's why we're struggling. Okay, so again, that's the point. That's the point. Allah observes and Allah loves and respects this beautiful nature that He created most manifestly in females. The shyness, the bashfulness. The Prophet ﷺ was described as so shy. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-haya'u wal-imanu qarinan, fa'idha rufi'a ahaduhuma tabi'ahu al-akhir." Shyness, bashfulness, and iman are twins. One of them is lifted, the other follows. One of them is removed, the other follows. That's why they don't want shyness. So it's very serious. And what do we do? Oh, why is there no equality? You know what? You're literally like, I don't know. It's like, you know, people who came to Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala when he returned to Mecca after becoming an accomplished scholar. And they were from Iraq and they were doing Hajj. And they said, Ya Imam, man dasa zumburan fil haram alayhi dam. If a person steps on a wasp in the haram, do they have to slaughter a hadi, a sheep? He looked at them. Because you know, in the haram, you cannot hunt. You cannot shoot animals, right? Or when you are in a state of ihram. And in the haram, obviously in Mecca, it's haram, you cannot do it. So they said, if someone, while in ihram, they step on a wasp and they kill it, it dies. Do they have to pay the fidya, do the fidya? He said, you know what? He said, وَيْحَكُمْ يَا أَهْلَ الْعِرَاقِ قَتَلْتُمُ الْحُسَيْنِ وَتَسْأَلُونَ عَنْ زُنْبُورِ. Like, you killed the Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ, and you're asking me about a wasp? You see the disparity, the irony of what these people... Same thing, these people have killed their morality and then they talk about justice. And what kind of justice are we talking about? Khair, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khairan. I wanted to take some questions, but unfortunately it's just time for adhan. Barakallahu feekum, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So inshallah we will continue, and next week we will start with Surah Al-Mursalat, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi ajma'in.